know who's making our medicines, because right now, one of the most shocking things I found in China Rx, from writing China Rx, is now it's nobody's job to know who's making our medicines.
You mean no one in the U.S.'s job to know?
Correct.
That's unbelievable.
From a national security perspective, it's no one's job to know. And we need a permanent capability, just as we know who's making our, growing our wheat and corn and who's supplying us with oil and natural gas. We need to do that with our medicine.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Today, we're going to be talking about prescription drugs. Most Americans have one or more prescriptions in their medicine cabinet, and we pick them up at the pharmacy, but we give little thought as to where they are manufactured. Today, I'm going to share some information with you that will be chilling for many people. I'm going to be speaking with Rosemary Gibson, who is a senior advisor at the Hastings Center, which is a bioethics research institute, and she is the author of numerous books, including China Rx, Exposing the Risk of America's Dependence on China for Medicine. So you've got it. We will be talking about China and the influence that China has over our drug supply, not just what we have in our medicine cabinet, but also what our military men and women are being prescribed. So you're listening to the Be the People podcast and my special guest, Rosemary Gibson.
Carol, thank you so much for having me today to talk about this very important subject.
Well, your book, China Rx, it was published, I believe, this year?
That's in April of 2018.
And could you just briefly tell our listeners what about the research, what got you started, and what your findings are?
Sure. I was looking, Carol, to write a book, another book, in the public interest that makes a difference for Americans all over the country and our country as a whole. And I stumbled on this topic that has not been reported in the media, that very few people know, and it's the dramatic shift in where our medicines, mostly generics, are being made. And it turns out many of our medicines are being made in China. And we're so dependent on China that if they shut the door on exports, pharmacy shelves in the United States would be empty and hospitals would cease to function just within a couple of months. That's how dependent we have become on China. And hardly anybody knows. And I thought it was a very important story to share with the public and policymakers.
When did this happen? Is this something that took place over a period of many years, or is there a particular turning point?
I think there are two turning points that we write about in China Rx. The first was back in the early 1980s when the law that authorized generic drugs was enacted with great enthusiasm. We've all benefited from lower-cost generic drugs. It was in 1984, and it had bipartisan support. But what happened was manufacturers needed a cheaper place to make them. And so they began to look east, particularly to China. They have a lot of chemists and were more than happy to sell. And it began with the key ingredients, not the finished drugs, but just the key ingredients in our medicines that give them their therapeutic value, the heartbeat, the intel inside our medicines. But then there was another big turning point, Carol, and that was opening up free trade with China in 2000. It was really remarkable when I was writing the book, and it took 3 years because this is a very, very hidden issue. I began to put the pieces together. And within three or four years of opening up free trade with China, that's when we lost the last penicillin fermentation plant in the U.S., so we can't make penicillin anymore. It shifted to China, and there's an incredible story about how China did that. It basically is the steel story. It dumped it on the global market at below market prices, and it drove out U.S. and other Western companies making it. We also documented the last aspirin plant closing in the U.S., the key ingredient plant. And then the last big vitamin C plant, they all shut down. Again, China formed a cartel, and they controlled exports to the U.S. and raised prices. And we can't make vitamin C anymore in this country. That is the active ingredient, ascorbic acid. Those are the two things that should cause the shift to China.
Well, when individuals think about this, are we talking about just companies outsourcing, or is this something very different from American companies outsourcing to other nations?
This is a lot different, Carol. It is true that American and other Western companies, they began to outsource production to China. But China has, since then, developed an industrial policy in many different high-tech sectors, including pharmaceuticals. And so they have laid out a goal to become the pharmacy to the world. And they're very well on track with that right now. They're producing a lot of generic drugs, and these are not made by U.S. companies working in China. These are made by Chinese companies in China selling generic drugs to us. And we're the first book. It's the first book to name the generic drugs that some people may be taking that are made in China. Blood pressure medicines, HIV/AIDS medicines, antidepressants, medicines for Alzheimer's, epilepsy, Parkinson's, all over the board, and they're ramping up quickly. So this just isn't bad trade deals. It's China carrying out an industrial policy to disrupt, dominate, and displace U.S. drug manufacturing.
Now, is this something that you would say that members of Congress are aware of, and we see it? I see it as a national security threat. You see it as a national security threat. Is this being actively discussed on Capitol Hill?
As far as I know, not at all. I think most people do not know. And you're right, it's a huge national security issue. Think about this, the young men and women in the South China Sea are dependent on the adversary for basic antibiotics and so many other drugs. And that dependence is only increasing, so it's a huge national security issue. And, you know, China could withhold medicines, and they can use them as a strategic weapon.
Well, one of the things I know that you have written about and many of us have read about recently is the fact that those blood pressure medicines were laced with the carcinogens, cancer-causing carcinogens. How is there anything that the FDA does to protect Americans from situations like that when they are importing drugs from countries like China?
The FDA is working under very challenging circumstances, because when it inspects plants in China and other countries, it's not the same as doing an inspection here. That's because inspections in China are announced several weeks in advance, whereas here, if you're manufacturing drugs in the U.S., the FDA can walk in any time. But the other big reason is, frankly, the Chinese government makes it difficult for the FDA to actually get in to do what it needs to do and inspect plants. But beyond that, Carol, at some point it's about integrity. What happened with the blood pressure medicine, we could do a whole show on that. It was blatant disregard for human safety. I've done a deep dive on this, and the amount of carcinogen in the most dangerous valsartan out there was in a plant in China. And the cause of that was just really bad science, bad manufacturing. And the FDA is not a policeman. It can't be in these plants overseeing every single chemical manufacturing process. At some point, it comes down to trust. And the question is, can we trust Chinese manufacturers?
Why would we trust Chinese manufacturers when we see how they violate the human rights of their own citizens and their disregard for life, you know, with their one-child policies and all the things that they've done in the past that show that their values are not like ours?
It's the pursuit of cheap. Those who are buying generic drugs and their key ingredients, particularly for generics, the dominant force is cheap. And that's created a race to the bottom on quality. It's about money. And we have to change that equation, change that dynamic, change how we purchase, how hospitals purchase, how the U.S. military and veterans, how the VA and DOD purchase medicines on behalf of those who serve our country.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when I return, we can talk more about this.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with Rosemary Gibson, and we're talking about the risks to Americans when it comes to their dependence on China for the prescription drugs that we take. And Rosemary, is there anything that we can do as Americans to bring back the manufacturing of our drugs so that Americans are not dependent on other countries to manufacture the medicines they need, you know, for their well-being?
Oh, there's a number of steps that we can take, Carol. What I'd like to see first is we need to think of our drugs, particularly our generic drugs, as a strategic asset like we do oil, like we do food. We would never allow what happens to our medicines to happen to oil and food. So we have federal agencies and also the private sector that do forecasting of supply and demand for oil and wheat and corn. We do risk assessments of our suppliers, country risk assessments, and we have backup, you know, supplies. So we need to, first of all, think about our medicines differently. And we need an ongoing capability in the federal government as a matter of national security to know who's making our medicines. Because right now, one of the most shocking things I found in China Rx, from writing China Rx, is now it's nobody's job to know who's making our medicines.
You mean no one in the U.S.'s job to know?
Correct.
That's unbelievable.
From a national security perspective, it's no one's job to know. And we need a permanent capability, just as we know who's making our, growing our wheat and corn and who's supplying us with oil and natural gas. We need to do that with our medicines, especially our, take last resort antibiotics. If somebody gets a terrible infection like MRSA or C. difficile or sepsis, we're dependent on China for the starting material for almost entire classes of antibiotics. Last resort antibiotics that you need that make the difference between life and death. We need to change that right away. But first, we need to know where we're vulnerable. Vulnerabilities are across the board, but we need an entity monitoring this. And then, how do we bring some of that manufacturing home? And in my view, the DOD and the VA should purchase differently, not through the existing channels, but have long-term contracts, bring in new manufacturers, pay a fair price, not a race to the bottom on price, and enough money so they can build in some redundant manufacturing capability at higher quality so they can have a good source of high-quality medicines, uninterrupted supply. That's what we need to start doing differently.
One of the things that, you know, is shocking to me is that a lot of Americans, and I'm one of them, we look at the labels on our food, and there are certain products that I certainly will not purchase from China. And so as a consumer, if food is labeled properly, then I can make an informed decision. But we don't have that with our prescription drugs. And I don't believe most Americans that they would have ever thought that the medicines that are in their medicine cabinet are coming from China.
You're absolutely right. No one knows. It's really quite shocking. But in terms of solutions, I think we're almost too far down the rabbit hole to be able to say, let's have country of origin labeling. The reason is China is so dominant. Even if I had the labeling that said this is made in China, do I have many options? So it's not as if I have the option to choose, especially if my insurance company won't cover it. So the first thing, I think, is developing increased domestic manufacturing for certain high-priority drugs, and it can be manufacturing in countries that are allies and partners with us. It doesn't all have to be in the U.S. It would be great for our economy, good-paying jobs, good for our public health security, and good for our national security.
Do you know if President Trump is aware of the situation?
I don't know, but the aim of China Rx is to make leaders at all levels in the United States aware of our dangerous dependence on China for medicine. And if any of your listeners can help us do that, it would be an honor to do so and to do a briefing with them. I'd also be honored to come and speak at any venue of public policymakers to do a briefing, to do grand rounds at hospitals, which, you know, doctors on the front line are seeing this. And they're beside themselves on the blood pressure medicine. What else can I prescribe if all these three blood pressure medicines are being recalled? What do I do for my patients? And there's other serious problems about quality that I think the blood pressure medicine is just a tip of the iceberg.
Well, Rosemary, what are some of the other issues that relate to health care that we as informed consumers should be concerned about?
I think each of us has to play a very important role in our own health, because no one's going to do it for us. And when we need to use health care, we just can't leave it to the experts. We have our own expertise in knowing our body, and we have to do our homework. I wrote a book called The Treatment Trap about the overuse of unnecessary medical care. And that's a very important challenge in healthcare. There's too many surgeries being performed, too many medications being prescribed, and we need to take charge of our own health and help our loved ones do that.
Right, and I think often with elderly people, we have those situations where they have so many medicines, and one medicine is actually counteracting the impact that a different one is supposed to have, that they are working at cross purposes with the medicines that the elderly people are taking.
You are so right. If older adults had the chance to have someone take a look at all their meds and go through it with an objective, evidence-based way of, does this person really need this? There could be a dramatic reduction in unnecessary medication taking by patients across the country.
My mother lives with me, and she's in hospice, but one of the things that they advised me to do was to reduce her medicines, which I did. And she got significantly better. She's been in hospice
Absolutely
for over
right.
a year, but there's been a dramatic improvement since she was taken off her medicines.
I've heard this same story, Carol, many times over. My heart goes out to you for your mom, and God bless you for taking care of her in your home. But I've heard this many, many times, even physicians who've gone home to see their older relatives. I remember a physician, he told me once he got a call saying, you need to come. Your father is, you know, at the end of his life. So he went there and he looked at all the medications he was taking and just said he's going to stop taking all of them. And he got better. And he walked out of the hospice.
Well, I'm waiting for this to, I'm waiting for them to kick my mother off of hospice because she's doing so well.
Well, let's all hope for that.
Well, the more I learn about the prescription drugs and the fact that they come from China, it makes me motivated, you know, to make sure that I take fewer, and I take very few medicines now, but I certainly want to be healthy enough that I'm not dependent on prescription drugs that come from countries that have lower standards than America when it comes to purity and quality.
I did a review of what happened with this blood pressure medicine made in China, and the amount of carcinogen that was found in that product was so off the charts. And the FDA asked the company to respond, and the company said, well, it's what everybody else is doing, which was not true.
What did they mean by that? The
company knew that there was this impurity, contaminant, in their product, and all they did was reprocess it. They didn't go back and look at their manufacturing process and change it. So they knew. And this is what's called a genotoxin, which can change the DNA, and it's harmful at very low levels. Hence the reason there's concern about carcinogen. And this is why the FDA shut down all products coming from that facility into the U.S.
How did they find the problem with that medicine?
It appears as if, here's what happened. In 2012, this was a patented drug sold by one company. Then it was going off patent. So what happens is a lot of companies want to come in and sell the generic because it's a big market. A lot of people take blood pressure medicine, but they have to sell it at a lower price. And this one particular company started coming, they had 35% waste in the manufacturing of it in terms of the byproduct. And that's a cost. So they sought to reduce that. And they came up with a new chemical process, but they neglected to notice or ignored the fact that this new chemical process created a carcinogen that's harmful to human. It was dangerous what they did. And they just went along and kept making it, sold it on the market. And it came, appeared to have come to the attention of regulatory authorities first in Europe. It may be by a European company that may have noticed something and may have contacted the Chinese company. This is all not public information. It's what people are saying, so I cannot verify it myself. But it sounds very reasonable. That's why the Europeans were the first to recall this valsartan, and then the FDA followed suit 2 weeks later. And again, people love to blame the FDA, and while they're far from perfect, the reality is government inspectors cannot be in a plant 24/7. Again, there has to be trust, there has to be professionalism, there has to be good science and good manufacturing.
Is there any evidence that that any persons taking that medicine have developed cancer that can be traced to the medications they were taking?
That's a great question. We have a chapter in China Rx called The Perfect Crime. And the reason it's the perfect crime, it is so hard and virtually impossible, I'd say in this case, to show cause and effect, that because I took this medicine, that cancer was triggered. Now, about 10 years ago, there was a contaminated blood thinner used by hospitals and dialysis centers called heparin.
Let's take another break, and then after that, want you to talk about heparin.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
back with my guest, Rosemary Gibson, and you're listening to Be the People. And she's going to talk about another drug that was contaminated, and it's called heparin.
That's right, Carol. About 10 years ago, there was a commonly used blood thinner in hospitals called heparin. And it doesn't come in a pill form. It's administered intravenously, and people on dialysis get it. And it turns out it was contaminated with a toxic ingredient. And that was done for economically motivated reasons by the suppliers in China who were making the raw material and the active ingredient. It's terrifying. And there were reports of 246 deaths associated with this. The problem is, once again, it's very hard to show cause and effect. We open up China Rx with a story of a Johns Hopkins trained physician. He walked into a very prominent hospital in Arizona late at night. He knew he had a stomach ulcer. It was bleeding, probably. And they admitted him. And the next day, after getting several large doses of heparin, within 11 minutes, he went into heart failure. And his other organs started to fail. A week later, his heart was taken out.
Oh my!
And he was put on an artificial heart machine. 3 months later, he had a transplant. And it was a Hail Mary, and he lost. And so his wife, who's also a physician, spent the next decade in court. And there were more than 570 something legal cases. And the conclusion from that, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to prove that heparin did it or did it not cause his medical condition.
How did they, again, same question I asked about the blood pressure medicine, how did they identify the bad batch of heparin?
It was identified because very astute physicians and nurses at a children's hospital in Missouri, there were two children on dialysis at the hospital. And they had both come on at the same time, were both given the same medication, and within minutes they went into anaphylactic shock. Their hearts were racing, their tongues were swelling. They were given an antidote immediately, and it was terrifying for everybody. And so they shut down the dialysis center, cleaned everything up, called the water department to see if there were any bacteria in the water, moved the dialysis clinic to a different part of the hospital. Next Monday morning, same thing happened with another young person, and the following Wednesday, same thing. That's when they called in the CDC and the FDA. And I tell you, when they get to work, they can do a great job. And within a week, they had traced it to one commonality of other cases that were popping up around the country, and it was heparin. And it was heparin manufactured by a U.S. company, but that company got its supplies for the key ingredient from China. That's how they found it out. It takes people in the field to be able to notice the reactions, and again, with heparin, how it's different from the blood pressure medicine, the reactions were immediate. The problem is kids are more resilient than, say, older adults with lots of chronic conditions, and their chronic conditions and different reactions they can have, it could be masked by the fact that they're older. They just don't notice it.
So did the children in question in Missouri, did they survive?
Oh, yes. They were all fine, yes.
Good, good.
They were all fine. But how many deaths were there? How many people were adversely affected? We'll never know. But it was traced back to suppliers in China. There was a shortage, and so they came up with a this is very conniving what they did. They came up with a substitute ingredient that could not be traced by the existing testing methods at the time.
Oh my.
That's how it flew under the radar. So we're dealing with a whole different kettle of fish here, Carol. This is not just bad trade deals and outsourcing. There's something very different here. It's a different way of thinking about medicine. You see, in this country, we really developed expertise and people who cared about standards and good manufacturing. Increasingly being challenged, particularly for our generics, because they're treated as cheap commodities, no different than T-shirts, and let's see how we can do a race to the bottom on price by the manufacturers.
And Rosemary, I understand that you also talk about the U.S. military and that they are dependent on medicines from China?
Yes. When the U.S. military needed to buy large quantities of doxycycline, a common antibiotic, it's used was used after the anthrax attacks in September 2001. I spoke to the company CEO that made it for the military, and he said he had to get the starting material from China.
And that's something, you know, that, again, that most people are not aware of. We don't even know.
Not at all.
Right, yeah.
And the FDA doesn't get into those plants making the raw material for our antibiotics.
Well, Rosemary, in the time that we have left, could you tell our listeners what they can do to become more informed? I know purchasing your book, which I need to do also, Channel RX is one way, but are there things that we can do that might make a difference when it comes to protecting our health and the health of our military men and women?
The first thing I would suggest is that people can go online. On C-SPAN, there is an event that was covered on China RX. To take a look at that, to call their member of Congress and send them that link and say, this is a threat to my health, the health of my neighbors in our state and congressional district, and also to our military. So we can't fix the problem until we're aware of it, and raising awareness is a very important first step. The second thing we need to do is to, for hospitals and for the Defense Department and the Department of Veterans Affairs, to Health Affairs, to purchase their medicines differently. And there are some specific ideas I have in mind for how that can be done. But simply raising awareness. And when you go to your pharmacy and to pick up a prescription, ask to see the box. And take a picture of it. It might say where it's made, it might not. Call up the company and ask them where it's made. Some will tell you, some won't. And ask them not only where the drug is from, but where the active ingredient is coming from. Awareness is the first step to make change.
And could you tell our listeners how they can reach you if they want to invite you to speak or?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
My email address is Gibson is my last name, G-I-B-S-O-N, initial R for Rosemary, it's the Hastings Center, thehastingscenter.org. My Twitter is @Rosemary100.
Rosemary, thank you so much for being a guest on the Be the People show, and I wish you so much good fortune with your goal to educate the American people about the medicine, and I just appreciate your time today.
I appreciate our conversation today, Carol. Thank you for doing it, and best to your mom.
Well, folks, we have a lot of work to do, and one of the things that we can do is make sure we follow the recommendations that Rosemary Gibson has made when it comes to the prescription drugs. We need to make sure that our members of Congress are aware. We can look for that C-SPAN link, and I will be posting a link to that as well as Rosemary's contact information on our website. And until next time, remember that we the people can be the people who change America and our world. Thank you.